After a landmark deal with Russia, a ship carrying Ukrainian grain has finally sailed from the country's southern port. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A Sierra Leone-flagged vessel called Rozoni is now on its way across the Black Sea, carrying thousands of tons of grain that's desperately needed the world over. The ship's departure from the port of Odessa is hoped to be just the first of many commercial sailings. It's making its way now to Turkey, which brokered an agreement between Russia and Ukraine to make the voyage possible amid mounting international pressure. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres welcomed the news, saying he hoped it will bring much-needed relief to global food security. From Odessa, the BBC's James Waterhouse explains what will happen to the ship in the next couple of days.
The sight of the Rozoni with 26,000 tons of Ukrainian grain making its way out there into the Black Sea through mine-infested waters before making its way along past a Russian naval blockade before being inspected in Istanbul, where it will then make its way to Lebanon. It is the first of what is hoped will be many, but many more vessels will need to follow for a sustained period in order for Ukraine's damaged economy to benefit, as well as some of the poorest countries in the world, which are Ukraine's biggest grain customers.
That's the BBC's James Waterhouse reporting from Odessa there. Well, the Rozoni's final destination is Lebanon, where it'll likely be welcomed with open arms. That's after sections of huge grain silos in the still-shuttered Beirut port collapsed on Sunday. They were badly damaged in the deadly chemical explosion there 2 years ago, and it's believed the collapse was triggered by fermented grain-fueled fires that have smoldered there for weeks. With Beirut port out of commission now, the BBC's Lena Sinjab explains where the soon-to-be-arriving Ukrainian supplies will be stored.
To start with, it's not going to dock at the Beirut port because we've seen it's out of service since the Beirut explosion in 2020. So it's going to port at the Tripoli port. That's when it's expected to arrive, and we're expecting the ship to arrive in around 6 days. Now, there are some news that it's maybe also it's for private merchants, the grains that are arriving, so they will be looking after their storage. But I'm sure the government will be thinking of alternative locations for grain storage, and that's what's been ongoing for the past 2 years since the Beirut port went out of service.
And how vital is this shipment to Lebanon? Because, as you say, it's still grappling with severe economic crisis 2 years after that deadly port explosion.
It is very important. Initially, before the Ukraine crisis, most of the grains, especially the wheat in Lebanon, arrived from Ukraine. And we've seen like a crisis after crisis in Lebanon with food shortages, with bread shortages, basically. And sometimes most of the bakeries went out of service. We know that the ship that is arriving now is bringing corn grains, but still it will be useful for food commodities in Lebanon. They're hoping that there would be more ships arriving afterwards.
The BBC's Lena Sinjab for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, strong corporate earnings are continuing to give a slight boost to global stock markets today. Benchmarks here in Europe are up in the 0.3% to 0.4% range. Across Asia, gains of as much as 1% today. That's despite official data from China that showed factory activity there contracted last month as COVID restrictions continued to crimp output. But it's not just China. South Korea, Taiwan, and Japan are also reporting manufacturing slowdowns of their own. The BBC's Monica Miller has more on that from Singapore.
We are really starting to see the signs of a slowing global economy. A lot of these factories are reporting the goods that they use to make their products are becoming much more expensive. We are also dealing with supply chain issues that we have been seeing for months now, still gumming up the system. Here in Singapore, actually, bizarrely, we were having a sale on Christmas toilet paper in July. There's stuff that was sitting on those container ships that just aren't in need or want anymore. So now these factories are trying to beef up production on what is in demand, but that's hard to do when the economy has seen a spike in prices of natural resources, and then they can't get their supplies out to the people who need them.
It's home. Two simple words with a whole lot of meaning have been splashed across UK front pages this morning. It's a phrase of elation that follows this victory.
England, European champions for the very first time. time.
The England's women's soccer team brought home a trophy last night after defeating Germany here at London's Wembley Stadium in the Women's European Soccer Championships. It's the first time in more than half a century that England has won a major soccer title. Needless to say, then, England fans have been delighted, Germans, though, disappointed, but for perhaps more reasons than just one. Germany's women's team has dominated the soccer pitch for years, but they still don't attract the same following or money as the men's team. The BBC's Jenny Hill watched last night's match at one of a few bars in Berlin, showing it on TV.
There's an acknowledgement that, yes, the German side is one of the most successful in the world. They've got 8 European championships under their belt. They've got 2 World Cups under their belt. What's really interesting is where I'm standing. It's a small beer garden outside a sports bar, and it's one of the very few places in Berlin where they're actually showing the match. Of course, people may be watching this on the TV at home, but unlike the men's side, when they reach the finals of a major tournament, and you'd see whole parts of the city centre cordoned off to make a fan zone, the so-called fan mile by the Brandenburg Gate, if you know Berlin. Nothing like that's happening for the women's game. And this game, I think, is once again highlighting the fact that a lot of people here are saying, you know, there just isn't enough support, either societally or financially, more to the point, for the women's game. And that's something that, with every match like this, they hope will change.
That's the BBC's Jenny Hill reporting from Berlin there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.